Hello and welcome. I'm so glad you've pressed play because today we're diving into one of the most foundational topics in AQA A-level psychology, the multi-store model of memory, proposed by Atkinson and Shiffrin back in 1968. Whether you're revising for your first mock or polishing your technique ahead of the real thing, this episode is going to walk you through everything you need: the model itself, the key studies, the exam tips, a quick-fire quiz, and a summary you can carry with you. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's get into it. The multi-store model is one of those topics that sounds simple on the surface. Three boxes and some arrows, right? But trust me, the marks are in the detail. Examiners are looking for precise knowledge of coding, capacity, and duration for each store, and they want you to evaluate the model with real, named evidence. By the end of this episode, you'll know exactly how to do that. Let's start with the big picture. Atkinson and Shiffrin propose that memory is not one single thing. It's a system made up of three separate stores, each with distinct characteristics. Information flows through these stores in a linear sequence, a bit like a production line. The three stores are the sensory register, short-term memory, and long-term memory. Let's take each one in turn. First up, the sensory register, or SR. Every single second, your senses are bombarded with information: sights, sounds, smells, touch. The sensory register is where all of this raw sensory data lands first. It has an enormous capacity, essentially unlimited, because it holds a snapshot of everything your senses pick up. But here's the key thing. It has an incredibly brief duration. Visual information, called iconic memory, lasts only about half a second. Auditory information, called echoic memory, lasts a little longer, up to about 4 seconds. And the coding in the SR is modality specific, meaning visual information is stored as images, auditory information as sounds, and so on. Now, most of what hits your sensory register is lost almost immediately. It never makes it any further. The gateway to the next store is attention. If you pay attention to a piece of sensory information, say you hear your name being called across a noisy room, that information is transferred from the sensory register into short-term memory. So let's talk about short-term memory, or STM. This is your working memory in the everyday sense. It's what you're using right now to follow what I'm saying. STM has a very limited capacity. George Miller, in his famous 1956 paper, described it as the magical number 7 plus or minus 2. That means most people can hold between 5 and 9 chunks of information in STM at any one time. And a chunk can be a single digit, a word, or even a meaningful phrase. Chunking is a strategy we use to squeeze more into that limited space. Duration in STM is also limited. Without rehearsal, information decays in around 18 to 30 seconds. Think about looking up a phone number and then getting distracted before you dial it. Gone. That's STM decay in action. The coding in STM is primarily acoustic, that is, based on sound. Conrad's 1964 research demonstrated this beautifully. He showed that people make more errors when trying to recall letters that sound similar, like B, C, D, P, T, than letters that look similar. This tells us STM is encoding by sound, not by appearance. Now, how does information move from STM to long-term memory? This is where rehearsal comes in, and this is a point that trips up a lot of candidates, so listen carefully. There are two types of rehearsal. Maintenance rehearsal is simply repeating information over and over, like saying a phone number to yourself. This keeps information active in STM, but doesn't necessarily transfer it to LTM. Elaborative rehearsal, on the other hand, involves processing information more deeply, linking it to existing knowledge, giving it meaning. This is what actually drives transfer to long-term memory. And what about long-term memory itself? LTM is your vast, permanent store of knowledge, skills, and experiences. Its capacity is considered unlimited. There's no known upper limit to how much the human brain can store. Its duration can last a lifetime. You can remember your first day at school, a childhood holiday, how to ride a bike. The coding in LTM is primarily semantic, meaning it's based on meaning. Baddeley's 1966 research showed that people struggle to recall semantically similar words from LTM, words that mean similar things, which confirms that LTM organizes information by meaning. Information can also be retrieved from LTM back into STM. That's the retrieval process. When you're sitting an exam and you recall a study you learned months ago, you're pulling it from LTM back into your conscious working memory in STM. So to summarize the model, environmental stimuli hit the sensory register. Attention transfers selected information to STM. Rehearsal, particularly elaborative rehearsal, transfers information to LTM. And retrieval brings it back when needed. It's a neat, elegant model, and that's both its strength and its weakness.
Right, let's talk exam technique, because this is where marks are won and lost. First, the AO1 versus AO3 balance. In a 16-mark essay on the MSM, you're looking at roughly 6 marks for AO1, that's your description of the model, and 10 marks for AO3, which is your evaluation. A very common mistake is spending too long describing the model and running out of time to evaluate it. Don't do it. Get your description done efficiently and spend the majority of your essay on evaluation. Second, be precise. Examiners will not award full credit for STM has a capacity of 7. You must say 7 plus or minus 2 chunks as identified by Miller in 1956. That's the difference between a level 2 and a level 3 answer. Third, don't confuse coding, capacity, and duration. Coding is the format in which information is stored: acoustic, semantic, visual. Capacity is the amount of information that can be held. Duration is the length of time information can be held. These are 3 completely different things, and examiners penalize candidates who muddle them. Fourth, when you use case study evidence, explain the dissociation. For him, Henry Malazan, don't just say, HM supports the MSM. Explain that his hippocampus was removed to treat epilepsy, that his STM remained intact so he could hold conversations, but that his LTM was severely damaged and he could not form new long-term memories. This dissociation between intact STM and damaged LTM supports the MSMs, claim that these are separate stores. For KF, studied by Schillies and Warrington in 1970, his STM was severely impaired with a digit span of just 1, yet his LTM remained largely intact. This challenges the MSM because if STM is the gateway to LTM, how could KF form new long-term memories without a functioning STM? This is a powerful evaluative point. Fifth, use the Peel structure for your evaluation paragraphs. Point, make your evaluative claim, evidence, name the study, the researcher, the date, explain, link the evidence back to the MSM. Link, state the implication for the model's validity. Okay, time for your quickfire quiz. I'll ask the question, give you a few seconds, then give the answer. Ready? Question 1. What is the capacity of short-term memory according to Miller? The answer is 7 plus or minus 2 chunks. Question 2. What type of coding does STM primarily use? Acoustic, based on sound. Question 3. Who proposed the multi-store model and in what year? Atkinson and Shiffrin, 1968. Question 4. What does the primacy effect in Glanzer and Kunitz's 1966 study tell us about LTM? Words at the beginning of a list are rehearsed more and transferred to LTM, so they are recalled well, supporting the existence of a separate LTM. Question 5. How does KF's case challenge the MSM? KF had severely impaired STM but intact LTM, suggesting LTM can function without STM, challenging the model's linear transfer mechanism. Let's bring it all together. The multi-store model of memory, proposed by Atkinson and Shiffrin in 1968, describes memory as a linear system with 3 stores: the sensory register, short-term memory, and long-term memory. Each store differs in coding, capacity, and duration. Information moves between stores via attention and rehearsal. The model is supported by the serial position effect, Glanzer and Kunitz, 1966, and by the case of HM, which demonstrates the dissociation between STM and LTM. However, it is challenged by KF, whose intact LTM, despite impaired STM, questions the necessity of the rehearsal loop, and by the working memory model, which shows that STM is not a single unitary store, but a multi-component system. In your exam, remember, be precise, maintain your AO1 to AO3 ratio, use Peel for evaluation, and always name your studies with researcher and date. You've got this. Good luck, and I'll see you in the next episode.